Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kalb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Blake Bauer, who is the author of You Were Not Born to Suffer, Love Yourself Back to Inner Peace, Health, Happiness, and Fulfillment. Blake is a spiritual teacher and a spiritual seeker, very similar to myself, and many of the things that are in this book are things that we learn along the path that are extremely important if you would like to get off the, I guess, the wheel of karma and the wheel of suffering and the wheel of just having to come back again and again and not having the tools or abilities to break loose of the suffering that we see so much of on this planet. So thank you so much for joining us, Blake. Where are you calling in from?
Hi, Susan. Thank you so much for having me. I'm actually in Chicago at the moment.
Well, great. How's the weather up there now? Is it good?
No, today was a funny day. It's getting better. It was sunny, and then it was raining, and then it was windy, and then it was raining, and then the sun came back out. So we are moving into spring. I took a walk today and saw some beautiful flowers starting to bud, which is always beautiful.
That is. Well, would you like to give our listening audience a little bit about your story and your journey and how you came to write the book?
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, I grew up in a family that suffered very deeply mentally, emotionally, fluctuations in money, drug addiction. I lost a number of family members to drug addiction throughout my childhood and throughout my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was a young man in high school, when I was about the age of 14, I started to drink and smoke pot socially. And then that developed into an addictive habit for me where I started to get high all the time. And then I started to take other types of drugs like pharmaceutical pills were my drug of choice. And, you know, I would use them in various ways on a regular basis. And by the time I was 18 years old, I had been arrested a number of times. I had been suspended from my high school a number of times. And I also played American football and was a captain of my varsity team with offers to play in college. And I got a DUI one night coming home from an evening of partying and got to a stop sign in front of train tracks in the middle of the night and put my car in park, put my head back and fell asleep and woke up to police knocking on the window and was arrested with lots of...
They don't like that, do they?
No, I think they might have been entertained by it. It was written on the report that I had rolled down my window and said, "Excuse me, officer, was I driving too slow?" when I had been in park for quite a while.
Right.
So I was arrested for the DUI. I also had all these substances in the car because I was obviously very smart at that age. And so what happened for me at that time was this. I got kicked off the football team. I had a girlfriend who I loved very deeply, but I was so self-destructive. I hurt her and broke her heart and pushed her away. And so at the age of 18, I had pushed away everything and everyone that I cared about and everything that I loved, but also everything that I was identified with. So I had built up this huge ego as a young man, and at the time I didn't know to protect myself from pain, but it was, you know, my way of masking insecurity and psychological and emotional suffering. And so I went from being extremely arrogant and thinking that I was invincible to being very confused and very insecure and lost and tortured in my mind. And then, you know, at 18, there's all these pressures of, you know, what am I going to do with my life? What do I study if I'm going to go to college? If I'm just going to work, what do I do for work? Is it just about making money? Does money equal happiness? Is success about making money? You know, all these, you know, beliefs and cultural kind of ways of living that I was grappling with at the time. And so, you know, I'm 18 and I'm waking up every morning just completely tortured by my mind. And, you know, as you would fully understand in yourself, a lot of the spiritual teachings talk about the mind and our thoughts being like a wild horse. And I would wake up every morning, you know, not with one wild horse, but with a few hundred wild horses. And before I would even get out of bed, I would feel so spread thin and so confused and so restless and so anxious. And, you know, had all these conflicting beliefs and emotions, and I had no clue where to start or what to do. And then I guess to make a long story short, that pain and that suffering led to two questions inside of me, a burning desire to answer these two questions, which was, one, how do I liberate myself from suffering and find some peace and happiness? And then what is the purpose of my life? Why did I come here? You know, did I just come here to just suffer like this and just make money and just be so confused? Like, doesn't my life have a purpose? And I felt deep down that it did. And so those two questions drove me forward. And I ended up going to five different universities, and I never graduated. And I just kept going from one to the next to the next, looking for these answers inside of myself. And obviously everybody who knew me thought I was crazy. My parents thought I was crazy. But in my heart, I knew I was, you know, I had committed basically every day to finding these answers. And then through my own synchronistic events, I eventually realized that everything I had done in going to five very well-respected, credible universities and studying with spiritual teachers and masters from all over the world in things like meditation and yoga and Tai Chi and Qigong and reading hundreds, if not thousands, of self-healing and self-help books and books on science and God and spirituality, you know, and everything we all do on this quest, I realized that I was doing two things which were really the same thing. And what they were was I was really just learning how to love myself. And two, I was looking for love. And like all of us, I never learned that I was the love that I was seeking. And because I had never learned how to love myself as a child or as a young man, I had developed this very self-destructive habit of always seeking love outside of myself, which then manifests in, you know, seeking attention, approval, value, recognition, and then also happiness and peace outside of yourself. And for me, it was so extreme and it was so painful that I had to find a way to break the habit. And then when I realized that, you know, that's really what life is about, is we're all just here learning how to love ourselves unconditionally so that we can actually bring love into the world, into our relationships, into the work that we do, bring that kindness and that awareness and that understanding. I felt, because I had desperately suffered and searched for so long and so hard every single moment basically of every day for years, I felt that I had to share it with as many people as I could. And so that inspired me to write my book, which then became the number one best-selling spiritual and self-help book in Australia, where I was living up until this past December. So, it's been a wild ride. And, you know, I love sharing what I've learned to help me heal my own deep psychological and emotional suffering, to help other people. And then obviously, and I think you'd appreciate this, all my training eventually gelled, and I could see logically how us not loving ourselves through internalizing our emotions and then living in fear and thus not acting based on what we really want to be acting on causes the flow of energy and blood in the body to slow down and to stagnate and coagulate, leading to most forms of depression and disease.
Yeah, and most disease is blocked energy. That is very true.
Yeah.
I mean, the only exception to that is if you have toxic exposures, you know.
Exactly.
That's like, yeah, that requires detox, obviously. So, but other than, I mean, most disease is emotionally based. Like most cancer is emotionally based, but there are some toxic chemical and, of course, some radiation things that occur, like people exposed at Chernobyl could get thyroid cancer, you know, if they didn't take high doses of iodine. So, not, you know, so, but the majority of illness is settles into the physical body because we don't handle it properly on the mental and emotional plane.
Yes, and then too, and then that's what causes our immune system to be weakened, and then we become more susceptible to, bacteria, viruses, and environmental toxins, as you were saying. So it can be this vicious cycle. And then as you see a lot in your practice, I'm sure, when people get really sick, they're at that point of overwhelm. And it's like, how do I deal with all the emotional stuff and psychological stuff? And then now I've got all these physical symptoms, and it's just, people drown in it because it can be so overwhelming. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
And people don't know where to start because they don't know. like you really have to understand causation. My whole focus in medicine is to understand causation, because without knowing the cause of the disease, we really can't treat it. We can treat the symptoms, but
right.
there's danger there. You know, I'm sure you're aware in homeopathy that if you suppress one symptom, you can drive it deeper into the tissue and even get cancer or some worse disease. So
right.
suppression of symptoms is not a great strategy. You know, you might feel better temporarily, but if you understand how disease manifests, you don't really do much there. You really have
right.
to understand causation.
Yes, absolutely. I love in Chinese medicine, you know, they use the metaphor of the tree, you know, root,
mm-hmm.
you know, treating the roots,
right.
you know, in addition to or you know, in opposition to the branch, you know, and sometimes you got to address both. But I think, like, you know, we're talking about, a lot of times the root cause is overlooked and misunderstood, because, again, in the spiritual
mm-hmm.
world or the metaphysical world or the alternative medicine world, we can say, you know, oh, emotions cause disease. But for a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't sound logical or rational.
Right.
And so that's something I've really committed myself to, is helping people to understand rationally and logically how the
mm-hmm.
internalization of emotion develops into, you know, stagnant energy, which then causes stagnant blood, which then causes,
right.
you know, the coagulation of the cells and liquid and,
mm-hmm.
and toxins in the body. So, you know, and like, as you know, we have a whole...
Too.
What's that? I'm
with
sorry?
Cancer, yeah, with cancer... cancer occurs because of lowering of the organ energy, anything that lowers the energy of the organ. It could be infection, which including parasites, mildew, fungus, bacteria, and viruses. All of those things have been linked to cancer in
yep.
various organs. And it can be radiation, it can be toxic chemical, it can be geopathic stress, it can be
yes.
hormonal, like in breast cancer. It is emotional in most primary cancers, I can tell you that, because we test for it. And then it can be generational curse, because basically cancer is a fourth dimensional intrusion into the third dimension, very similar to Morgellons. And so basically, if you understand what the disease is caused by, and that's the fourth dimensional intrusion into the third, and then what you have to do is raise the energy of the organ. So treating the cause is very important. Like if somebody's sleeping on a geopathic stress line, you've got to get them off of it, because that geopathic stress line, for 8 hours, they're sleeping on a very, very low energy area, and the energy in that organ is depressed. And then if the only cause, I ran across a patient the other day, the only cause she had was generational curse, and four of her cousins also had breast cancer, and they were all between the ages of 28 and 36.
Wow.
So that means you got to remove the curse, you see. You got to know the cause. And that's very, very different than someone who takes too much estrogen, you know, is on birth control or high doses of replacement estrogen and gets an estrogen-based cancer, which does happen. I mean, so you see, you can't say there's one cause of cancer. There's many causes of cancer. But you basically have to raise the organ energy back. Or if you want to do preventative, what you should do is check your environment for geopathic stress, do detox every year, treat for parasites. What I tell people is you need the muscle test when you're at least about 45, and then treat your parasites, because as Hulda Clark said, a lot of cancers form around parasite infections in organs,
yeah.
you know, where the parasites are in the organ. And then emotionally, cancer is a victim thing. Like if you're in a relationship and it's kind of abusive, you can develop kidney cancer. In breast cancer, if you're right-handed and you have someone who's supposed to nurture you but they betray you, you can develop left-sided breast cancer. Right-sided's different. It's somebody that you nurture. So each of these cancers has very, very specific emotional reactions, but usually they're based on being victims. That's why they call them cancer victims. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
You have to learn not
yeah.
to be a victim with cancer. So.
Mm. Yes, absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about in the first part of your book, you've told us how important it is to love yourself, because many people beat themselves up. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's obviously a loaded situation. You know, we learn so much from our environment growing up, and because our parents, you know, struggle with the same things that we struggle with today, you know, they never learned how to love themselves because nobody taught them, you know, and then mm-hmm. they get married or have a family and, you know, they're trying to put food on the table and take care of the kids and try to maintain some kind of happiness or intimacy in their relationship, which is not easy. And so, you know, we learn a lot of self-destructive habits and ways of relating to ourselves early on from our parents and from people around us, because it's really the human condition. We're all suffering with this, and so we don't know better. But then what I've found is that, you know, going back to what we were just talking about the kind of victim consciousness, is that we can only heal our body, our psyche, and our life to the degree that we take 100% responsibility for everything that we're experiencing. So eventually, I found that we have to find a perspective in our consciousness where we're able to take 100% responsibility for all of the self-destructive habits that we have, or the suffering we're experiencing, or for the life, you know, that we're living that we're not satisfied with. And part of that comes back to understanding that, because when we are children, we learn to keep in a lot, to hide a lot of what we really think mm-hmm. and feel just to survive, or to fit in, or to not be screamed at, or to not be abused, or because we just don't know better. Most of us never learn how to say, I feel this, or I need this, or I want this. And so that whole inner world becomes internalized. And what I have found is that when we're not true to ourselves in mm-hmm. any given moment, what we're actually doing is we're betraying ourselves, and we're hurting ourselves, and we're lying to ourselves. And then when we do that, I believe it sets in motion. We're talking about causation, and in Buddhism, there's a term that, you know, called co-arise. And I believe mm-hmm. all the destructive psychological and emotional energies that are in our body co-arise together from this one dynamic where we do not learn how to speak and act based on our truth in each moment. And so when we get scared of saying something or get scared of doing something mm-hmm. because we're afraid of losing love or being criticized mm-hmm. or being judged or being rejected or whatever it is that we're afraid of, we hurt ourselves, we betray ourselves by internalizing it. But then what we do is we start to criticize ourselves and give ourselves a hard time for not finding the courage, not finding the strength to be true to ourselves. And mm-hmm. then that's tied up with, you know, feeling shame and feeling guilt for what we feel. And mm-hmm. I also have found that that's tied up with a lot of us carry this deep existential guilt for existing. And mm-hmm. this goes back to the fact that all human beings are selfish. And if you really analyze it enough, we'll all find that we are selfish creatures, even if we help a lot of people. Like, you know, I can speak for myself personally. I help thousands of people, but I would say I'm one of the most selfish men you'll ever meet. And it's because I take good care of myself, you know, emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, that my cup is full and I have a lot to give. And I'm sure, you know, Susan, you'd probably feel the same way. And there's a dynamic that's set in motion, which is really loaded, that, you know, our parents, when they have us for selfish reasons. And mm-hmm. when we're in utero and in our early years, a lot of us actually feel like a burden or a problem, or that our existence is a problem. A lot of us actually feel guilty for existing. And a really interesting way to see how this manifests is now as an adult, if you look at your life now, and some people who are mm-hmm. listening to this probably feel this way now, they probably feel like they're a burden, like their presence is a burden, their emotions are a burden, or if they come to you and they're sick, they might feel like they're a burden to their family. And the reason mm-hmm. why we feel like we're a burden is because if you go back, there's this unspoken truth where the reality is that having children was stressful, and a lot of our parents, you know, weren't ready to have children. And more than 50% of people who have children, it's a mistake, you know, so it's like this mm-hmm. huge responsibility that comes when you don't think you're ready, or you haven't consciously made the choice to do it.
Right.
And then this sets in motion all these emotions and thoughts that our parents have that they would never mm-hmm. admit because they are ashamed of them, or they think people, you know, they judge themselves for having these thoughts or these emotions. They think that other people will think they're bad, you know, like bad people mm-hmm. or a sinner
right.
or
yeah.
whatever. But what that sets in motion is for us, and this is true for all human beings in my experience, so it's just the human condition. first we feel guilty for existing, and then we feel guilty for having feelings, and we feel guilty for having needs, and we feel guilty for having desires or dreams. So then now as adults, we feel guilty for wanting to be healthy and happy. Or we feel guilty because we're sick and we feel like a problem to everybody else. And it's this vicious cycle you were talking about, like the, you know, the wheel of samsara that keeps going on, you know, keeps going round and round. And then we beat ourselves up and we give ourselves a hard time because we're one, either trying to please everybody, and two, we know that we're lying to ourselves. We know that we're betraying ourselves. So that's why when people try to use affirmations and they go look in the mirror and they try to say, I love you, their response is, you know what? No, I don't believe you. You're a liar. And the truth is because for 40 years or 50 years, you've been horrible to yourself. So of course you're going to give yourself a hard time. And of course you're not going to believe yourself when you say, I love you. Does that make sense?
I was an RH baby. And my my mother had the highest level of antibodies I'd ever seen, so they paid her for her blood. And I was the first, it was experimental, the first total body transfusion at the University of Maryland. And when I went there to interview for medical school, the guy I interviewed with said, I know you're not going to come here because I see all these Ivy League schools you got into, but I was a pediatrician that saved your life.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that a great synchronicity?
Unbelievable. Yeah, that
but is I had to do some work about, you know, coming in and having being attacked. I mean, essentially, my mother tried to kill me and almost did, you know.
Right.
I mean,
so
I came very close to not making it,
So you understand this core wound.
Those memories are there. Yeah, I had to go back and do kind of a, you know, a releasing of that. But I was very sick when I was in utero.
You know, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Well, it's
and then
good,
look,
though,
but
because
isn't
it, you know, it made me very tough.
Right, but look at all, and then but look at the work you do today. You know, it's like, you know, I believe that the highest perspective is that we choose, you know, our life and we choose our suffering to bring forgiveness and to
healers,
bring love.
Right.
Yeah.
Most healers have a very hard time at birth or right after birth.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
So. Yeah. So I think we choose that experience. I never felt victimized by it, but I did feel like I needed to go back and release those feelings that you were talking about. The feelings of being attacked. Yeah.
And understand it. And did you, throughout your life, did you attract people to attack you up until you had healed those emotions in you?
Oh, people are still attacking me. I'm very controversial. But I'm not a victim.
That. That's good. So you're enjoying it.
Well, it's amusing. You know, it's kind of what should I say? I'm a whistleblower, and I'm I'm outspoken. I'm on radio show, for God's sake. You know, so the more traditional doctors are threatened by me, and sometimes fearful of me, which is kind of amusing because I'm certainly no threat to them. But,
no, but that's just their own insecurities and fears that they're projecting onto
you. Exactly. Yeah. So, no, but I would imagine that I'll be attacked the rest of my life intermittently for, you know, for speaking out and whatever, but that's okay. I'm also very highly protected, so the attacks are, for the most part, just annoyances, not real problems. So
Well, I pray that you remain protected and it doesn't bother you.
Thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Well, you know, you would have the same thing. I mean, if someone sees your work from a, you know, a born again Christian standpoint, especially in the Deep South here, they're gonna have some negative things to say about you as well. So.
Yes, absolutely. No, I do. I do at times attract the same kind of reactions as well. And like you said, you know, we don't know better either. You know, and that's the whole thing is, you know, most of the medical profession or, you know, the psychiatry profession and even most religion, you know, we just don't know better. And it's when you come from the place of total understanding and acceptance and non-judgment, you know, we're all we're just where we're at, and we're learning what we're learning about love and forgiveness and unity consciousness. And And, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of people, you know, they go to their medical school or they go to church or and they don't know that there are these other ways, there's these other approaches that are possible or a broader view or and we get trapped in these limiting beliefs and then we create these structures around these beliefs. And that's what, you know, the medical paradigm is that we live in and a lot of the religious right. paradigm. And it's, you know, because as you would know, you know, it's not easy to live in the unknown and to not grasp on to these belief systems or communities mm-hmm. to feel like you belong or to feel like you have an identity, because deep down, most of us have so much insecurity and so much pain that we don't know what to do with. And so, you know, then we, as a symptom, we attach ourselves to a belief system or to a religion or to a doctor or a therapist, right. you know, because we just don't know better yet. And, you know, and then when we're taking a certain path or operating from a certain perspective and we keep hitting a wall, you know, we're sick and we're not getting better or our marriage is not getting better or we are still broke or mm-hmm. we look in the mirror and we don't feel good about ourselves and we know that our approach is not working anymore. And then that's when finally our stubborn ego and pride cracks mm-hmm. a little bit and there's an opening. You know, to a new approach. Right. And that new approach may not fit in a box that you're used to and be conventional.
Yeah, so, it does have a lot to do with dropping belief systems. I've always said that at least my personal spiritual growth and those around me, we've had a meditation group since 1990 that's met weekly. So I have long-term meditator friends and we work for the spiritual hierarchy. So we're pretty experienced at dropping belief systems because, you know, the guidance that comes in is not about building, you know, structure. It's about getting one free of structure and free of limitation. And we really do believe that we're limited here, and we're really not. So, you know, it's all about dropping belief systems and realizing that you really are much different than you were taught.
Yes. So I'm writing about this in my new book, you know, in a simple way to help people grasp this. And what I talk about is that there's two broad categories of beliefs. There's limiting beliefs that lead mm-hmm. towards more suffering and pain and struggle. And then there are liberating beliefs that lead mm-hmm. toward peace and health and happiness. But then eventually when you reach the top end of the spectrum of even liberating beliefs, you have to let go of all beliefs because beliefs are basically just thought forms that right. obstruct pure consciousness. And so, you know, I like to tell people that, you know, beliefs are just rafts to a certain destination. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one subset of beliefs are going to lead you to a hell-like experience here on Earth. And the other mm-hmm. subset of beliefs are going to lead you toward a heaven-like experience of Earth. But then eventually what you want to do is you want to get off the raft. You want to get off the belief. And you just want to be present mm-hmm. in your life and feel good in your body and have people around you that you love. Excuse me. And mm-hmm. and wake up and enjoy your life and your body and your relationships mm-hmm. and food and whatever substances you put in your body as much as possible, you know, every day and not be stuck. So... and then part of this, the book that I'm writing is about accepting that you're one with God and mm-hmm. God being, you know, that, you know, the entire universe and the intelligence that fills everything and created the universe. And I, in my experience, until you own, and this is where I'll get crucified, Susan, until you own that you are one with God, God in human mm-hmm. form. Then there will always remain aspects of your psyche, your body, and your life that remain outside your access to heal. So until you until you accept your oneness with the Creator, the universe, and God, just like every other human being, so not that you're better than or that you're the only child of God, but that we are all mm-hmm. children of God and that we can all go to God just by touching our arm or looking in the mirror. Mm-hmm. until you own that, there are going to always remain aspects of yourself that are not free or not at peace or not fully happy. And so if I'm going to get crucified for anything, it's going to be this teaching.
Yeah. Well, you know, the minute you set up a limiting belief, or a fear that is disguised as a limiting belief, that's usually what it is, then that's what spirit has to work with. So
yes,
you create that, and then no help can come to you, okay? And what we've learned in meditation is that there's a huge amount of spiritual help available for everybody on the planet. I mean, and it's free. All you have to do is ask for it. You know,
right.
It's like it's right there. So one of the things that's so funny about my guys right now, you know, I'll conjure these things up in my mind, you know, and wonder if they're going to be a problem, whatever. And then they'll say to me, "We got this. You know, we got this. Don't worry. We've got it." You know, in other words, just forget it. You know, forget worrying about anything. We've got this. So we've got this little conversation going on with so I decided not to worry about things because why if they've got it, they've got it. So I choose to believe that when they say I've got it, and they say that frequently now, that I don't have to worry about it. They're going to take care of it.
Beautiful. And I think, you know, for a lot of the listeners, you know, practically for me personally, how I'm able to practice that, you know, that way of living is by learning to breathe and open, you know, just open my body, open my mind, and by breathing, you know, into my belly and my back and my chest, I drop into my body, I expand my energy, I'm present to my surroundings, you know, because as you know, like when we're stuck in our thoughts and we're just thinking about the future and thinking about the past and we're afraid and we're anxious and, you know, we're so focused on the little grain of sand and we don't see the beach that's like we're sitting on, then you're closed to opening opening and receiving the energy, the support, the guidance that is all around you in this intelligent universe. And, you know, for, you know, obviously if you believe in spirit guides and, you know, all these other beings that are there for your support, but even if you don't believe in that, all you have to do is breathe and open in the present, like literally wherever you're sitting, just open and breathe deeply and feel your body and get out of your thoughts. And there's this infinite energy all around you, which I believe is love. And that energy is intelligent and full of oxygen and life and what your body needs to be well and what your spirit needs to, you know, to breathe fresh air and feel free. You know, so if I know a lot of people, it's hard to bridge that perspective, like, you know, they got it with, you know, okay, well, how do I apply this practically? And for me, you know, breathing has been so important and being able to physically learn what it, you know, like a lens on a camera, how do I expand my body and my energy as opposed to always feeling contracted? And I see a lot of people get stuck in that state of contraction. And then obviously then their energy is not flowing, their blood's not flowing, their emotions are not flowing. And then guess what? Oh, they're depressed. And then they're physically sick, you know? So, you know, all of this that we're talking about is also tied up, you know, with every way we struggle, and like you said, every way we worry or fear or, you know, stay attached to a limiting belief.
Yeah, we don't really know what's in store for us, and we probably don't really want to know what's in store because then the element of surprise would not be there, which is fun to do, you know. Well, it is.
Yeah,
you know,
I think you're right.
I mean, I wouldn't want to know everything that is going to happen to me, the, you know, good or bad. I just, you know, I think it's important to know the certain things so I can protect myself, and that has been important in the past. But you know, but basically it's really a matter of trusting that the universe has a path for you that's optimal, and that you have the tools and the wisdom to follow that path.
Yes.
You know, by the decisions you make. And so you make decisions based on, you know, spiritual principles rather than fear, or love rather than fear. And then the path you're on is the path you're supposed to be on, and it's one of your highest, fulfillment and service to the planet as well, both at the same time, usually.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Susan, what I've found for myself and then for us in general is that the reason why it's so hard to have faith and trust for so many of us is because we don't trust ourselves. And again, this goes back to what I've said, you know, a few times, is that, you know, if you think you're, you know, if you're 40 years old or you're 50 years old and you've betrayed yourself every day of your life or most days of your life for 40 or 50 years, meaning you've, you know, lived in fear, you haven't expressed your truth, you haven't created a life that you love, you've been pleasing everybody or taking care of everybody. So the truth is you don't trust yourself. And for me, I found that it was my relationship to myself and my own thoughts and perception and emotion that determined how I perceive the outer world. So a great example is, you know, if I judge myself, then I'm going to judge other people. You know, I'll put people down to temporarily make myself feel better. So basically, it's our relationship to ourselves that determines how we relate to and perceive the outer world. So when someone says, I don't have faith in God, I don't have faith in the universe, I don't have faith in life, I don't trust those things, what you're really saying, what we're really saying is I don't trust myself. And rightly so. I mean, if you've been betraying yourself and been your own worst enemy for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, of course you're not going to trust yourself. So for me personally, and then, you know, with a lot of the people that I've worked with, I found that the key to having that faith and that trust, which we all need to enjoy life, is to speak and act and to start today and to start in every situation and relationship being authentic and speaking our truth and acting based on our truth, even when we're scared, you know, so the fear doesn't necessarily go away, but you know that you have to stop hurting yourself and then be true to yourself. And then day by day, it's like you learn to crawl again and you learn to walk again and you learn to run again spiritually. And then you learn to fly spiritually. And when you learn to fly spiritually, that's when you can take these huge leaps of faith, you know, when they talk about the faith that moves mountains, and achieve miracles in your life. But again, for me, it comes back to logically being, you know, speaking and acting based on my truth with, you know, kindness and respect and personal responsibility in every moment and every situation starting now. And for me, you know, I mean, a lot of people, some people have blind faith, some people are skeptical and thus don't want to have any type of faith. It's got to all be, you know, X, Y, and Z. And for me, I had to find the perfect marriage of logic and mysticism. And for me, this is what came of it. So and it's been critical for me, and I've found critical for thousands of people. It's like it just they just get it. That they need to stop betraying themselves so they can trust themselves and then trust God and trust life.
That's true. So would you like to give some of your contact information?
Yeah, if you'd like me to. I've got, so my website is unconditional-selflove.com. My book is You Were Not Born to Suffer, which you can find on Amazon. And then I have a Facebook page under my name, Blake Bauer, which is B-A-U-E-R. And then I have another Facebook page under my book, which is You Were Not Born to Suffer. And those are probably the best ways to keep in touch or get in contact.
Are you doing workshops now?
Yeah, I just did a weekend retreat in Colorado at the Shambhala Buddhist Mountain Center. And then my next ones, I've got a retreat coming up in London in May, and that's in association with the College of Psychic Studies. And then I think I'll be in Australia doing a retreat, and I don't know how relevant this is to your listeners, but that's going to be in July, end of July or early August in Byron Bay. And then the first weekend in December, I'm going to be doing another retreat in Colorado called Beyond Suffering, Unconditional Self-Love Mastery. So in all of these retreats, I basically teach people how to love themselves unconditionally, psychologically, emotionally, and physically. And then we do Qigong to unlock stuck energy, stuck blood, and stuck emotion. And Susan, I want to get you a copy of my DVD, actually, because it's such an effective practice for unlocking that those stuck energies in the body. And then we do meditation to, you know, to train the mind to be in the present, to come back into our body, and then obviously to open up to the universe and to all that support that, you know, you were talking about. So those are the main events that I think I have coming up.
Great.
Yeah.
So You said you're working on another book. What? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, so the first book, You Were Not Born to Suffer, is really has this strong energy on learning how to love yourself unconditionally. And, you know, it obviously mirrors back this journey that I've been on in learning to master loving myself. And then, you know, part of the book, the first book talks about how, you know, once you love yourself unconditionally, loving another becomes an act of self-love. So the idea that there really is no separation between myself and yourself and anyone or anything, so that when we do love someone else, we are loving ourselves. But often we focus on giving love to other people in an attempt to distract ourselves or avoid the things inside of us that we don't love or that are painful or overwhelming, all the things that we don't look at. So until we've healed those things and really learned to love and accept and forgive and value ourselves deeply, our love for other people is very conditional and toxic and tainted, and often, you know, we're giving to get instead of giving purely. So this next book was really inspired by my brother, who passed away 3 years ago from a heroin overdose. And before my brother passed away, he was a graffiti artist for a number of years. And before he passed away, he'd become very well known for a tag in Chicago and Los Angeles and San Francisco that was, "Love is law, life is love." And so for me, it brought me a lot of peace to know that my brother had realized that love was the highest law in the universe before he passed away, because he really struggled here on this planet and suffered a lot. And so after he passed away, you know, the merging of everything that I had been working on myself and teaching, then, you know, I just, you know, was obviously very moved by his passing, and it was very powerful and profound for me in so many ways. And then I started to I had this desire to write a book to kind of honor his story and his legacy. And so now the book I'm working on is outlining the universal laws that define giving, receiving, and embodying unconditional love. And a big part of the book is accepting that you are one with God, and that you can love that much, and you can bring that much love into your body, into your life, and into the world. And so my aim is to help people find that love inside of themselves, give that love in a healthy, balanced way, attract and find that love in a healthy and balanced way, and really, you know, bring down every single limiting belief that keeps us trapped in any way in this life. So that's a bit of a nutshell of the book.
Great. That sounds
great. Yeah. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting back to focusing on it.
Oh, great. Well, we're coming up on the end of our hour. Is there anything you'd like to share with the audience before we conclude the interview?
Well, I would just say, you know, to the people who are listening, that if you want to cut through your struggles, whether they're physical or financial or in your relationships, you know, or psychological, that I found that everything comes back to speaking and acting based on your truth in the present moment now. So that's the key to loving yourself. That's the key to valuing yourself. That's the key to accepting yourself. It's also the key to forgiving yourself, because when you don't express what you feel or need or want, and you don't act based on it, all because of a fear or a limiting belief that you have, you keep hurting yourself. And if you keep hurting yourself, you're never going to forgive yourself. And then you'll never be able to forgive anybody else, because underneath, you know, all the anger you have towards somebody else, it's really the anger that you have towards yourself for allowing yourself to be hurt and not knowing better how to protect yourself or stick up for yourself. So again, the key is express yourself now and act based on your truth, and everything will work out and everything will be okay, and life will take care of you, because you're one with life and you're one with God, and life wants you to be healthy and happy. And the only way you can be healthy and happy is by being true to yourself in every situation, every day, with what you say and what you do. And, you know, life will show up and support you if you are true to yourself. And it's an amazing, miraculous dynamic but it's just how life works. So, you know, it's like if you don't matter to yourself, you're never going to matter to anybody else. If you don't respect yourself, nobody's ever going to respect you. If you don't value your emotions and your dreams, nobody else is going to give a shit. So it's all up to you. And you know, I found, Susan, I'm sure you agree, you know, we're the only ones who can give ourselves permission to be healthy and happy. You know, everybody's always going to try and manipulate and criticize and cause you selfish. But at the end of the day, it's between you and God or you and the universe, whether you're being honest and kind and true. And, you know, so please give yourself permission to be healthy and happy and enjoy each day as much as possible before you leave this body, because that's why we came here. You know, I don't think we came here for a prison sentence. We came here to enjoy this planet and enjoy our bodies and making love and eating food and drinking. I love coffee, so you might like tea or water or whatever it is. You know, we came here to enjoy this experience. And, you know, it's important to not keep putting it off to please everybody else. So.
That's true. That's very true. Well, thanks so much for joining us today. It's been a great interview.
Well, thank you, Susan. Yeah, thank you so much for having me, and I'd love to chat more, you know, another time.
Yeah, well, when you get your next book out, send it in, and we'll have you back on.
Okay.
We've been interviewing Blake Bauer. His book is You Were Not Born to Suffer. It's a great book of spiritual principles and, you know, how you can practically put them into use in your life and just get out of the whole I have to but I can't mentality and limiting beliefs and the things that really put you in a prison and that needs to be broken out of. So thanks a lot, Blake. I appreciate you joining us, and please let us know when you've got your next book out.
Absolutely, Susan. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Please join us next week.